The end of Parshas Balak has a story. After the whole Maisa with Bilam, that he tried to curse the Yidden, and the curse turned into a bracha. Bilam, before he left town, he said, "I'll give you some advice. You can't get the Jews when they're serving Hashem. You can only get them when they turn away from Hashem. So here's what you should do. Get the women of Mayov to try to seduce them, and through that to draw them to Avodah Zarah." And that's what Mayov did, and they were successful. And the Jews, even the leaders of the Yidden, started to be nimshach towards the Mayavi women, until Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, till Pinchas got up, and he went to the tent where a prince of the Yidden was being mezana with a princess of Mayav, and he killed them. And by killing them, he stopped the trend. He stopped this terrible trend, and he got tremendously rewarded for his courage by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning of this week's parasha. This week's parasha starts with the reward. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Hashem says, Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, Heshev es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He turned away my anger from the Jews. Because of him, I stopped being angry at the Jews. V'lo kilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi, and I did not destroy the Yidden in my anger. L'chein emor, therefore tell him, hineni noisein lo es brisi shalim. I'm giving him my covenant of peace. Which is an interesting thing to give someone who just did an act of violence. But that's not a discussion for today. But this brisi shalim, this covenant of peace, is an interesting Targum Yonison Menuziel. Targum Yonison says like this, I'll read the Aramaic and then I'll translate it. Ve'evdine malach kiyam, v'yeichei la'alma, l'mivsara ge'ulta l'soif yoimaya. The Targum Yonison says that I'm going to give him this covenant of peace, this brisi shalom, and I will make him a malach that lives forever, an angel. He will live forever, and he will inform Klal Yisrael when Mashiach is coming. And this, as we know, is Eliyahu HaNavi. This is Eliyahu, whose job is to, in the end of days, when it's time for Mashiach to come and the Geula comes, he's going to come. Hine Anochi Shaleach Lechem es Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Bo Yoyim Hashem. Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he'll be Mavasar, he'll let us know that Mashiach is on the way. And Chazal Taka say, it's in Chazal, it's in the Rishonim, that Pinchas Zu Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi. Whether it's a Gilgul or not, that's a discussion in this forum. But Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi, and as a reward for what he did, that he stopped this trend of the Jews being nimshach, being drawn towards the Mayavi women, by El Aramis, he got this chus that he will live forever, and he became an angel, and he became the one who's going to let us know, before Mashiach comes, he's going to let us know that Mashiach, a couple of days before, Chazal tells us, he's going to let us know that Mashiach is on the way. So I decided it's a good week to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. And I want to discuss the topic of Eliyahu HaNavi a little bit in Halacha and a little bit in Agada. It's interesting, and this is one of the things we discussed before, the beauty of Yiddishkeit, that we don't have the laws, we have the Halacha, and then a totally separate entity is our legends and Agadas and stories. It's a totally separate thing, it's not as serious. It's not like that by Klal Yisrael. By Klal Yisrael, every single word of Torah is true. And if there's a chazal that tell us that someone lives forever, so then in the halacha, we're going to find halachas of what the halachas is of someone who lives forever. If the chazal says that someone became a malach, so then in halacha, we're going to find halachas of what's the halacha of someone who becomes an angel. And what, regarding what laws is that relevant? So there are three basic categories I want to go through. Each one is the beginning of a discussion. My goal right now is not to fully discuss each one, but to bring up the points of halachas where it's negeya, relevant, that Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach. Okay, number one. We know that when a woman gets married, she's forbidden to any other man. And there's two ways that a woman who's married could become freed to marry someone else. One is through a get, through a divorce, and the other one is through Misas Habal, through her husband dying. What's the halacha of Eliyahu HaNavi's wife? Eliyahu HaNavi did not give a get, nor did he die. So is his wife allowed to remarry? And this question is asked by, there's a Tshuvas Mahari who discusses this. Rabbi Chanan brings it in Kavit Shiurim. And he discusses this question.
Was this something with Maris or was he married?
I don't know. I don't know. I was wondering about that myself. When he says like this, he says that the Isser, the Pasuk says that a person is not allowed to take his friend's wife, Eshes Re'ehu. He says someone who becomes a Malach is not called Re'ehu. He's not your friend. He's Kulei Ruchni, he's not Gufni anymore, he's not Re'ehu. So he says, so therefore the Isser doesn't apply, and after someone becomes a Malach, his wife is allowed to remarry. That's what the Tshuvas Mahari says. Rabbi Chanan has questions on it. He has all kinds of issues on it based on the sugyas and kedushin, but that's the first fascinating question about Eliyahu HaNavi. What is the halacha of Eliyahu HaNavi's wife? And while we're on the topic, you realize that this brings about a whole host of other questions. Like, for example, where his...
Are you saying that Eliyahu HaNavi's wife, Eliyahu HaNavi himself, became a malach?
He became a malach, yeah. That's what it says.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, first, so the other question is also, if he didn't have children, so would his wife fall to Yibum, and if he became a Malach, be a similar question. There's a chiyuv, the person has to honor his father. If your father becomes an angel, do you still have to honor him? Do the halachas of Kibbutz Av still apply? All these questions would grow out of the same question. But this is discussed in the Poskim. What's the halach of Eshes Eliyahu?
Can you discuss what happened?
Right, I didn't want to get into that, but that's another, it'll be a little bit nagea later. If I don't bring it up, I'll ask me afterwards. Question number two. There's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Where's the Daf Yomi up to, by the way? Ayin Vav? Okay, so you're not there yet. You'll be there soon, in about a month. So, the Gemara asks the Shiloh, Mar Breda Ravina, Mar, the son of Ravina, asked the question to Rav Nachman, the son of Yitzchak. And he asked like this, are you allowed to, we know that we write tefillin on leather, on the skins of an animal, of a cow. Are you allowed to write tefillin on the skin, on the ur of a fish? That's the Gemara's question. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak answered, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll say to us, Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yoymar. And I was like, for this we need Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Gemara says, what do you mean for this we need Eliyahu HaNavi? What's the question? What kind of question is that? He said, for this we need Eliyahu HaNavi. So Rashi says, Eliyahu HaNavi can't help us. Because we have a rule. The rule is, Torah is loy bashamayim. Torah is not in the heavens. The heavens do not decide laws. We don't have miracles, prophets, baskels, bolts of lightning teaching us Torah. We don't operate that way. The Torah is a system of laws. And the way that we decide halachadika questions, the way we decide is through the rules of the laws that we were makabel. It has to make sense, it has to work, it has to be, it's been passed down to us from Har Sinai, a way, Yud Gimel Midas Shatayra and Adreshes Vem, a way to darshan the Torah, a way to understand the Torah. And if Eliyahu HaNavi shows up out of the blue, literally, and he says, this is the halacha, we can't accept that. Torah is not Menashemayim, ain't Soim Chin Bebasko, we don't learn from a Basko, we don't learn from a Navi. A Navi is allowed to give us Musar, a Navi is allowed to direct us, but a Navi is not allowed to be Mechadish. A Navi Rashoi Lechadish Davar Me'ata, the Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk in the Chumash. Halachas come from our teachers, not from prophets, not from miracles, not from baskels, not from Malachim. So what do you mean if Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll tell us? Eliyahu HaNavi can't help us. This is something we have to figure out ourselves. That's how Rashi, Masechta Shabbos, explains the Gemara's question. That's a very, very good question. The Achrayim asked this question. Probably by the time I finish, we'll get the Achrayim discuss this question. So, the Gemara answers that we don't want to know the halacha from Eliyahu HaNavi. Technically, the skins of a fish are able to be used to write tefillin. The problem is that fish have what's called zuhama on them. They have a certain amount of filth
or oils.
Or something that might make it unsuitable to write on. And they weren't sure if the skins of fish were relevant, if it's nageya, if it's possible to write on them. And why they couldn't figure it out themselves, what exactly they were missing, I'm not sure. But the Gemara says that they needed Eliyahu HaNavi just to tell them the fact Just like we would trust someone who knows science about what the scientific fact is. If a Rav wants to pass in a shayla, he'll call up a scientist and he'll say, what are the scientific facts? And based on that, I'll render a ruling. That's not called that the scientist is saying the psak. The rabbi is saying the psak based on the facts that the scientist knows. To Eliyahu HaNavi, who obviously is being a malach, obviously has knowledge that we don't have. So the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi would be the one to tell us if there's too much zuhama on the ur of a dog. And based on that, we'll know ourselves that if there's not too much, then we'll know ourselves that you could write on it. And if there is too much, we'll know ourselves that you can't. So that's the first thing that we learn about Eliyahu HaNavi Paskani Shailas, that Metzius, he could tell us. What the Metzius is that he could tell us. Which, of course, and this I start, also this begins a whole discussion. Let me give you an example. Let's say a guy comes to us, he wants to become a Jew. Goes through the whole process and so on. He goes into a mikveh, he becomes a Jew. The only problem is we don't know if that mikveh is kosher. We don't know if there's enough water. We know that it needs 40 measures of water need to be in a mikveh in order to be kosher. We don't know if the mikveh is kosher. Now you have this man, we don't know if he's a Jew or if he's not a Jew. If the mikveh is kosher, he's a Jew. If the mikveh is pasul, he's not a Jew. And Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says there are 39 sa'ah in there. So Eliyahu HaNavi is telling me that he's not a Jew. If Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells me there's 41 sa'ah in there, then Eliyahu HaNavi is telling me that he is a Jew. It becomes dangerously close telling me the facts and telling me the halacha. This is nagia to other things also in Eidech and Amabi Surin and so on. But this also starts a whole, I'm just saying these things to provoke thought, a whole host of interesting ideas in halacha of what types of things Eliyahu HaNavi could notify us and what types of things he can't. Okay, so that's the first thing. But however, we do find many places that Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't just tell us facts, but he actually teaches us halachas. I'm going to go through two. The Gemara says in Brachas, and this those who learned Daf Yomi knew this in the beginning of Brachas. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yosi said, Pam achas hayisi mahalech baderech. One time, I was walking on the road, v'nichnasti le'echad mechurvos Yerushalayim lehisfalom. And I went into one of the destroyed places in Yerushalayim, unfortunately, after the Churban had many destroyed homes and buildings. I went into one of these destroyed places, the Churvos Yerushalayim, to daven. I didn't want to daven on the road, so I went off into a churva to daven. Ba Eliyo zocher latoiv shomar li al haPesach ad shesiyamti tefilasi. Eliyo anavi zocher latoiv came and he waited for me till I finished davening. After I finished davening, he said shalom alecha Rebbe, and I answered him shalom alecha Rebbe umayri. And he asked me, what are you doing? And I said I went into daven, and he said you should have davened on the road. It's too dangerous to go into this. A whole discussion. The end of the discussion is, but Oisai Shah at that time, Lamadati Mimenu Gimel Dvarim. I learned from him three halachas. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi learned three halachas, Eliyahu HaNavi Paskin, three shailas for Rabbi Yossi. Ah, Yanovi is not allowed to Paskin shailas. The Achrayim asked this question. Another Gemara. I was talking to Rabbi Jeremiah last night on the phone. He told me this Gemara. In Erevin, Nachbem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to know like this. We know that on Shabbos, a person is only allowed to walk 2,000 amas outside a city. Within a city, you could walk as much as you want. But outside a city, this is very relevant for people who go up to the country or in the Catskills in the summer. So outside each bungalow colony could be a nice long walk till the next one. So you have to know on Shabbos where you could walk until. You can't walk past 2,000 amas. The question is, what if you knew how to fly? What if you were able to go higher than 10 tefachim? And it sounds a little wild, but it's not so wild. It's relevant if you're in a ship, if you're in a boat, so you're higher than the bottom of the ocean is much lower than you are. So is the din of tchumen. It's nagei and different halachas. Does the din of tchumen apply if you're higher than 10 tefachim off the ground, which is the area where people walk around? That's what the Gemara asks. And the Gemara brings a fascinating raya. Tashma, the Gemara says, there were seven halachas that were taught one Shabbos morning in Sura. Sura was a place in Bavel, and it was taught in front of Rav Chizkiya. Seven halachas were taught in Sura one Shabbos morning. That evening, the same person taught the same halachas in Pumpedisa, to Rava. It's impossible to get from Sura to Pumpedisa in a day. So there's only one option of who is the one who taught those seven halachas. The Gemara says, "Man Amrinu, who said these halachas? Loi Eliyahu Amrinan? Doesn't it don't we have to say that it must have been Eliyahu HaNavi? Who else could have traveled from Shabbos morning till Shabbos afternoon all the way from Surah to Pampadisa? Isn't it Eliyahu HaNavi? And the Gemara says, you see from there that Tchumen do not apply higher than 10 Tzvachim, because Eliyahu HaNavi, who was able to go Bashamayim, he traveled way out of the Tchum from Surah all the way to Pampadisa on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Very, very fascinating. We'll get back to this a little later. But you see from here that Eliyahu HaNavi taught seven halachas, one Shabbos morning and one Shabbos afternoon. How is Eliyahu HaNavi allowed to teach halachas? There are other places also where Eliyahu HaNavi is asked shilas and halacha. So the truth is that there's a sefer that was written on this, and I don't have it, and I called everyone in Waterbury that I know that might have it, and none of them have it. But there's a sefer, and I think it's out of print. It's in a two-volume sefer called Kol Sifrei Ma'arat Chiyas. The Ma'arat Chiyas wrote many svarim, and they were put together into two thick volumes. My father has it. And when I was in Beis Medrash, when I was a kid, I once brought it to yeshiva, and I read three-quarters of the sefer. It was so fascinating. I just read it before I went to sleep. That was what I read before I went to sleep. And one of the books in there is called, I think it's called Birur Eliyahu, something like that. He clarifies the halachas of when we could learn dinim from Eliyahu and when we can't. But thankfully, the Ma'arat Chiyas didn't just write a sefer. He also, there are comments, notes from the Ma'arat Chiyas in the back of most mesechtes in Shas. So I was able to find in one or two places where Eliyahu HaNavi is discussed in Shas, I was able to find that the Ma'arat Chiyas writes Bekitzer, he writes a little bit about this, even though he ends off Ubisifri Heerachti, in my sefer I spoke about it more, but he speaks about it a little bit on his notes on the Gemara. There's also a Hagoyis Mahar Tzach on the back of the Gemara in Brachas, on that Gemara that I mentioned. And they say an interesting difference in what Eliyahu HaNavi is teaching. Eliyahu HaNavi can tell us a halacha, this is the halacha. No explanation, no reason, no discussion, this is the halacha. That's not appropriate, we don't learn that way. That's something, that's a Navi telling us something, that's not the way we learn Torah. Torah has to be learned with reasons, with understanding, using the basics that we got from Har Sinai, using the Torah Shebiksav that we got from Har Sinai, and using the Torah Shebaal Peh that we were makabel from our Rebbe and his Rebbe from his Rebbe until Har Sinai, using what we were taught, we need to take the new things that come up, and based on the old things that we were taught, be able to understand the new things. We don't just get a prophecy without any explanation and act on it. That's not the way we deal with Torah. However, if Eliyahu HaNavi appears to us and tells us a halacha and he gives us a good reason for it, a compelling reason for that halacha, or he explains the reason for something, or he connects two things in a way that the logic is compelling, it's no different than if a young child would tell me a halacha with a reason, or if anyone would tell me a halacha with a reason. Once I understand the reason and I can digest it and it feels right, it becomes my halacha. So the Achrayim say in Eliyahu, and the Ma'arat Chiyas says each one a little bit differently, but all along these lines, that the times that we can't listen to Eliyahu HaNavi is if it's like a lightning bolt. Don't do that. Why? I'm just telling you not to do it. No explanation. Or do this. No explanation. But if Eliyahu HaNavi says, don't do this because this is similar to that in Gemara Masechta Chulin and that halacha and so on and so forth, and you say, oh, Eliyahu, thank you for teaching that to me. You're right. So then Eliyahu is like any other chacham that gives a shir that we can learn Torah from. And the Achrayim say that that's the understanding of many of the Gemaras that we find, where Eliyahu HaNavi explains halachas, that he does it in the manner of a Rebbe, not in the manner of a Navi. So that's the third issue. That's the second issue. The third issue is the flip side of the second issue. If Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach, is he mechuyev to keep the Torah? Does he have an obligation to do that? Does he have to shake a lulav on sukkahs? He never died. He's a Jew that never died. He should have to show that he's an angel. Does he have to keep the Torah and mitzvahs? And this, if you think it's just negeah for him and not for us, it's very negeah for us. What if Eliyahu HaNavi would, let's say we would be in B'nai Shalom one morning and we wouldn't have a minyan. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on us, and Eliyahu HaNavi walks through the door. Could we be mitzarefim to a minyan? What if we are stuck one Shabbos, Judah Gross is not here, and a bris mila needs to be done? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdai sends Eliyahu HaNavi, he says, I'll do the bris. Is Eliyahu an appropriate male? You need a yid to do the amila. What if we don't have any meat for Yontif and Eliyahu HaNavi offers to shech the cow for us? Is this Shechita Kasher? Is Eliyahu a Jew or an angel? It's a very fascinating question. Now, the truth is that I just told you a Gemara that seems to indicate that he is mechuyev in mitzvahs. Because the Gemara says that we see from Eliyahu HaNavi that there's no tchum in l'mayla me'asara. Because how else would Eliyahu HaNavi been able to travel from Surah to Pumbedisa on Shabbos? So we see that he is obligated to keep the halacha. That's what that Gemara in Erevin seems to indicate. There's a Gemara in Bava Metziah, Da'kuf Yudal Amin Beis, that someone wanted to ask Eliyahu HaNavi a question, and they found him, of all places, and this is a big discussion in the Sifrei Agado also, they found him, of all places, in a Beis HaKvaris, in a cemetery of Goyim. And they asked him, how could you be in a cemetery? V'lav Kayin Humar? Aren't you a Kayin? Pinchazu Eliyahu. Aren't you a Kayin? They asked him. So how could you be in a Beis HaKvaris? And he answered that there's a difference in a Yid and a Goy, and according to, we don't pass in this way, but according to Eliyahu HaNavi, Goyim are not Metame. But the bottom line is that we see that they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what are you doing in a Beis HaKvaris? You're a Kayin. Eliyahu should have answered, I'm not a Kayin, I'm an angel. But you see, he didn't answer that. So it seems like Eliyahu HaNavi is Mechuyiv in mitzvahs. Let me ask you a different question. In the Gemara in Erevin, that brought a raya of Tchumen, from this story, why did the Gemara bring it? I have a different example. Let's say there's a bris in Waterbury one Shabbos, and there's a bris in Brooklyn the same Shabbos. Now we know that Eliyahu HaNavi attends every bris. Isn't it obvious that ain't chumen l'mayla me'asara? Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes travels around the world in a Shabbos. The Chazal tells us that Eliyahu HaNavi attends every bris. We have a kisei shel Eliyahu. We say to Eliyahu, the mayil, if you've ever heard what the mayil says, it's the beautiful tefillas that he says before a bris. He talks to Eliyahu HaNavi, he says, Amoid al yamini v'samcheni. He asks Eliyahu malach habris to stand on his right side and to help him. So that means Eliyahu is there. We don't play games here in Judaism. If the mayil is talking to Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi is there. This is not some kind of imaginative ceremony. If the Mayil is talking to Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi is standing there. So what's going on?
But when he's there, does it mean he's there as opposed to being somewhere else? Or he might, what if this?
I don't know, that's a good, at the same time, I don't know, what does Eliyahu HaNavi do? Amazing time management. So there's a Chuvah Sam Sofer that I have not seen inside one of the Svarim I was searching for last night. My father has a lot of rare Svarim, and a lot of rare Yediyas, and I therefore grew up with a lot of interesting tidbits of information that a lot of people weren't zeicha to, and this is one of the tidbits of information I grew up with. There's a volume of Shul Sam Sofer called the Likutim that was printed afterwards. It could be now it's printed in the sets, I don't know. And in there, he says, and again, I didn't see it inside now, but I called my father this morning to make sure that I got it right. He says that and this really gets into your question, you're really dancing around the issue over here. He says when Eliyahu HaNavi died, we all know the famous story that he went up in a chariot of fire to Shamayim with his body, with his guf. So the Chasam Sofer says that the guf and the neshama of Eliyahu HaNavi split in Shamayim. The neshama went up to Hashem, wherever the neshamas go, and the guf went to Gan Eden, waiting for Tchias HaMeisim. He says sometimes Eliyahu HaNavi comes to this world as a malach without a body, and sometimes he comes as a person with a body. And this is how the Chasam Sofer answers the problem of Eliyahu teaching halachas. He says, when he comes without a body, so he cannot teach us anything because he's a malach, but he also doesn't have to keep anything because he's a malach. However, when his body and soul fuse together, and he comes back to this world as a human being, so then he can teach us halachas like any Meir HaRavi Yisrael could teach halachas, but he also is obligated in every mitzvah in the Torah, just like any other Jew. So the Chasam Sofer said,
he is a Navi,
he could only, he still would be subject to the rules that we said before of how he could teach halachas. That's true. But those are the two ways that Eliyahu HaNavi appears in this world. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. How the Chasam Sofer is privy to this information, I don't know. But I realized from looking over the Gemaras that it's unbelievably meductic. It fits the sugyas very, very well. Both times that I mentioned before that Eliyahu HaNavi is asked or is observed in regards to his keeping Torah and mitzvahs are both times that he's also teaching Torah. What did we say? That when Eliyahu comes as a human being, then he can teach Torah, but he also has to keep the Torah. If he doesn't come as a human being, if he comes as a malach, he cannot teach Torah, nor does he have to keep the Torah. So now the Gemara in Erevin, that says that Eliyahu taught seven halachas in the morning in Surah, and then he taught seven halachas in the afternoon in Pumbedisa. What was it, Pumbedisa? Pumbedisa. That means that Eliyahu's appearance in the world on that day was in his human form, because he would not show up in a Beis Medrash to teach Torah as a malach. If he was in human form, he has to keep the halachas. If he's keeping the halachas, how did he get from Surah to Pumbedisa? It must be, there's no tchumen l'may l'may asara. There are questions that you could ask on that. Maybe in between he turned into a malach. As a person, does he know how to fly? I don't know. Yeah, but then he wouldn't be able to teach Torah. Just the way he looks is not good enough. He has to be a person. Yeah. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is also that way. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says he found Eliyahu HaNavi and he asked him about a halach of in Chayshah Mishpat. Someone owes money to someone, the halachas of a Baal Chayv. So after he asked him the halach in Chayshah Mishpat and Eliyahu HaNavi answered him, that indicates that Eliyahu is here in human form. If he's here in human form, he says, V'lav Kayin Humar, what are you doing in a Beis HaKvaros? Until you answered my question, maybe you're here in malach form. Fine, be in the Beis HaKvaros. But if you're answering my question, that means you're here in human form. So what are you doing in a Beis HaKvaros? Okay, that's the halachadika issues. That's a good question. Right, it probably because it might make a difference if it's a one-time thing or a thing. This is all discussed. These questions that you're bringing up and the Tishbi Yitara, it's all these things are discussed by Arichas and that Maritz Chiyas. But there is a difference. Even a Navi that tells us a halacha for a one-time thing, we listen to him. A Navi is just not allowed to be mechadish a new thing that's permanently in the Torah. But a one-time thing, we do listen to a Navi. It could be it falls into that category. I'm not sure. So here we have three topics. I just wanted to bring up the topics. Each one could be a shir or more by itself. But it's fascinating, and I think it brings out a certain beauty of Yiddishkeit, of how we'll take a chazal, that someone became a malach, and it has to work on paper. It has to make sense. It has to work halachas. These are three halachas about Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, this really gets to your question. If he dies and comes back to life, what happens to his wife when he takes human form? Something to talk about. Okay, so that's the halacha dika part. We turn to the agada to try to understand the depth of what the issue is of Eliyahu HaNavi. And it's important for us to realize when we're learning these things, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important to learn these things, that when we learn a chazal that tells us that Eliyahu HaNavi lives forever, this is not just some kind of magic trick, some kind of strange supernatural events happening without making any sense. This person lived forever. We know there's such a thing called Gilui Eliyahu, that Eliyahu HaNavi appears to people. It's like this magical thing. You know, we watch too many movies, read too much Harry Potter, and it becomes in our mind all mushed together, the clarity, the depth, kedusha, the holiness and purity of our Messiah, and the fantasies and images that are bombarded at us from the outside world. And a discussion of the clarity and the connection of these things enrooted in the whole Messiah of Torah helps clear our brain a little bit. Let's just mention a few issues of Eliyahu HaNavi. We all know that he's the malach that shows up to a bris, like we mentioned before. Why him? We all know that Eliyahu is the one who's going to let us know when Mashiach is coming. Why him? We know, we just mentioned before, that in the zchus of this fact that he separated Jewish men from non-Jewish women, he got this zchus to live forever. Why in that zchus? What is it about that that gave him this zchus to live forever? It says about Eliyahu HaNavi, it says, V'heshev le'vavais al banim, v'lev banim al avaisim. He will return the hearts of fathers to their sons, and the hearts of sons to their fathers. What's the meaning of that? Returning the hearts to each other. He'll reunite us, maybe Tchias HaMeisim, he'll reunite us. What's the meaning of putting our hearts together here, of the sons with their fathers and the fathers with their sons? What's the meaning of that? And finally, and this is a fascinating question, we all know that when someone's not alive anymore, we say Zechreina Levracha. We say Reb Moshe Zechreina Levracha. When an Elio Anavi, we don't say Zechreina Levracha, rather we say Zachor Latov. We don't say his memory is a blessing, we say he should be remembered for good. Why the change? Okay, he didn't really die, but why that change? Why Zachor Latov instead of Zechreina Levracha? Yeah. Okay. So, we have to go back, like we often do when we understand very, very deep things in Yiddishkeit, we have to go back to Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon, Hashem created this man, Adam Arishon. And the way Adam was created, Adam, Chazal teaches, would have lived forever. Adam Arishon, the way he was created, would never have died. The reason that Adam died, and this is in the Pesukim, the reason why Adam died is because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, which he shouldn't have eaten from, and because of that, he became a Bar Misa, he became someone who can die. Why is it that Adam Arishon, before the Chet, was unable to die, and after the Chet, he becomes possible to die? And the answer is, I'm going to say it simply, it's not simple, but I'm going to say it simply just to be able to cover our bases over here to understand, to reach Eliyahu HaNavi. The answer is that the general rule is, in this world, that the physical dies and the spiritual lives forever. That's the general rule. Anything physical has an end. Everything physical ages. There's nothing physical that doesn't age. Some things age very slowly, some things age quickly, but everything physical ages. We know that people, such a thing as dating, and scientists are able to date even stones, even rocks, they're able to date them. That means there's a manifestation of age in them. Ruchnius is ageless. Anything spiritual, there's no aging. There's no death, there's no ending. Adam Arishon, when he was created, was completely spiritual. His body was spiritual, and his soul was certainly spiritual. He was completely ruchni. Physicality, the physical world, the Yetzer Hara, was outside of him. And therefore, as a completely spiritual being, he was able to live forever. Once he did the chet, the evil, the physicality, entered inside of him, the Ramban teaches us. And once it became part of him, once part of him became physical, that was the end. He became Roy Femisa. That part of him that's physical, meaning his body, now is possible to die. And that's why Adam Arishon is a Bar Misa.
His body was not physical?
Right. In what way was it a body?
Right.
I'll answer you in one sentence, and then we can talk about it more another time. Even in the spiritual, there's level on top of level on top of level. The body just means the closer to physical part of his neshama, as opposed to the neshama, which is the closer to Hashem part of his neshama. But they're really both descriptions of neshama. We mentioned on the Thursday night chabur a few times that the Chazal tell us that the body of Adam Arishon before the Chet was holier than a malach is. So that's very, very, very spiritual. It's just in relation to his neshama, it's called the body. That's Adam Arishon. It's unbelievable. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, through their purity and through their serving Hashem, managed to restore themselves to the madrega of Adam before the Chet. Now, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov died. And the reason for that is that even though they did it, they managed to restore themselves to the madrega of Adam, Kaidem Achet. It actually says Yaakov in Loimes, but to whatever extent there was Misa by the Ovis, and he's the perfection of the Ovis, but to whatever extent there was Misa by the Ovis is because that job was not done. And the reason the job wasn't done is that even though they did it, but they didn't do it to the extent that it came out in their children. We do not have that purity. We do not have that purity that our body and soul are both yearning for Hashem. We feel the effects of a Yetzer Hara inside of us. And since they didn't reach the full effect that it came out in their children, it was not yet a perfect restoration of the Madrega of Adam Arishon. What effect does it have on us that they return to the Madrega of Adam Arishon? The effect that it has on us is that it's there inside. Deep, deep, deep in our neshamas, our true desire, our deepest desires, and our truest desires are for Hashem, not for this world. sometimes it could be covered by layer after layer after layer of physical and desires and distractions and all kinds of things. But what the Avos injected into us was that at the deepest levels, we have that Madrega. What needs to happen is that it needs to come out. It needs to break the surface. It needs to become part of our reality. But the potential for that type of holiness is inside every single Jew. A representative of that Madrega is the Bris Milah. The Bris Milah that we have, the circumcision that we have, which is on the place of Taiva, on the place of desire in a person, is a representative of the unique connection that a Yid has, that a Jew has with Hashem, that at the deepest, deepest level, his real desires are for Hashem. Even though it may feel otherwise, even though the distractions and desires and confusions of this world may cover over layer after layer of his true desires, and it may feel otherwise, but the Bris Milah tells us that you're really at the deepest levels, you're a Ben Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and your real attachment is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A guy doesn't have this. A guy doesn't have that deep, deep, deeper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and although a guy could be a good guy and he could serve Hashem, but his deepest desires are for the satisfactions of this world. To be satisfied in this world. For some goyim, it could be a very noble satisfaction. For some goyim, it could be a very immoral, mundane satisfaction. But the satisfactions involve this world. For a Jew, the ultimate, deepest satisfaction deep inside of him is closeness with Hashem. For this reason, the Gemara says in Nedarim that a Yid that does not have, is not circumcised, is still called Mavel, he's still called circumcised. A guy that is circumcised is still called not circumcised. Because the circumcision represents that deep connection with Hashem. A Yid has that connection, whether he actually physically has the Milo or not. And a guy does not have that connection, whether he actually has the Bris Milo or not. The lowest level in this department that a Yid could sink to is to have a relationship with a guy. Is to take the taiva that he had.